chapter 28. Chapter 28. This is going to be, I mean, it wasn't that long ago that I taught through these, and so I pulled back up my all my sermon notes. So I'm just going to kind of run through some stuff, and then, you know, if we have questions, we can talk about it, but and apparently somebody's already, y'all been through this too already. Y'all got notes on it, so y'all can teach me. All right. We'll just read the first section. You want to swap seats with me?
I don't have any notes. I don't know why.
No, I'm
going to
look on.
Why not here?
I'm
going to
skip.
You
skip.
We
ain't
going to give nothing, though.
Good thing we only got two.
It's your fault.
You know, I was going to tell them, I said, at least we get rained in way before 7:30.
Yeah. This is a bad night. We usually are, too. We're usually away. They've been, I think they had a lot of sugar at school today, at lunch. All right. Baptism and the Lord's Supper are ordinances of positive and sovereign institution. I don't know if y'all remember that phrase. It's used often in the confession. Positive just means it's something that's not, it's something the Lord gave to us. It's not natural law, right? Like Romans 1 talks about creation groans that there's a Lord, there's a God, and because of that, everybody should worship Him. Creation doesn't necessarily cry out that there's baptism and the Lord's Supper for the church. So these are positive and sovereign, meaning they come from God, right? He added these, He gave these to us to help us understand Him and what He's done. They are appointed by the Lord Jesus, the only lawgiver, and are to be continued in His church to the end of the age. Of course, those passages, the Great Commission, Matthew and 1 Corinthians 11, which I read from every Sunday when we do communion, just Paul's instruction to the Corinthian church. You can also find it in the Gospels, of course, where Jesus really instituted it, where He broke the bread with His disciples. And in fact, it's in the Gospels that we find out after they took the supper, they sang a hymn and then went out. That's not in 1 Corinthians 11, but... So we do that too. Just all right. These holy appointments are to be administered only by those who are qualified, called to minister them according to the commission of Christ. So we talked about that in the last chapter about who can administer these, the Lord's Supper and baptism. And Baptists have always believed that it should be a leader in the church that does these. I think at least be a part of it, an elder or a deacon that the church has set aside, set apart for these things. And the reason for that, I think, is multi-faceted, but I think it's important that baptism and the Lord's Supper always be tied to the church. There's people out doing all kinds of baptisms all over the place. Kids are baptizing each other. I don't think that I think baptism should never be separated from the church. I don't think it's wrong to do baptism wherever you can do it. I mean, we can't do it here. We do it in swimming pools and wherever we can. But it's the church together doing it, because it is a institution. All these given to the church and to be carried out by the church. The Great Commission points that out, and so. And I think the supper, too, again, it loses its meaning apart from the church. I've been to some random Lord's Supper communion meetings, and they're just strange to me. And mainly because I hold, you know, I'm Baptist at heart, but more than that, I just really think it's an institution for the church. Now, again, I'm not saying if somebody holds communion service somewhere that they're out of the will of God and deserve, you know, eternal punishment. I'm just saying it's better to keep it tied to the church. I mean, there has been some times as a chaplain, hospice chaplain, I've had a couple people ask me, could I bring communion to them? Because they can't go to church. They can't. They don't have a pastor. They don't have anybody that can do it. And I've honored that. I've tried to teach, you know, make sure they don't think I'm Catholic, doing some kind of last rite or whatever they call it. very rarely. I did it a few times. And this is something that Baptists wrestled with. Should we even take communion to homebound people? And I think for the most part they agreed it's okay when several went together to do it. Just because it has meaning within the body. That's why. Individuals out there that aren't tied together to any kind of covenant and church commitment together, it doesn't hold the meaning the same. And since it is a means of grace, if you remember us talking about that, the way that God imparts grace to the church, baptism and the supper are just two of the ordinances. And I think I appreciate they point out here that they don't point out these are the only two ordinances. These are two ordinances, because there are many ordinances, because an ordinance is simply a command or a teaching of the Lord that the church is supposed to follow through with. The things that he tells us to do, and that we see the church, the New Testament church, practicing, also we know that we're going to continue. So Lord's Supper, baptism, or some preaching of the word, prayer, fellowship, all these are ordinances, things that the Lord has given to us to practice together as a means of grace, which means it's the way he pours grace into us, and also as a way to lift us up, build us up together. You know, I think that's part. Several of us have had this conversation. I'm not sure, with the Lord's Supper especially, and even sometimes with baptism, are we doing it correctly? I don't know. Are we getting everything from it? Are we teaching enough about it? I don't ever want it to be commonplace in that it means nothing, or it's just something that we do. But at the same time, I do want it to be commonplace so that we do know it's part of worship. You know, just like we do the Apostles' Creed together, because that's a confession. All we're confessing, here's what we believe. This is pretty much the focus of why we're here, because we believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, and all the things that the Bible says about him. And we believe in prayer because we pray together. And we believe in admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. So we do that every week. And we believe in fellowship because we do that every week. And we believe in the Lord's Supper. And we would baptize every week, except, you know, the Lord has to save people before we baptize them. So we can't just keep rebaptizing each other. That's the one that we have to wait on, that we can't always do. I think everything else. And again, some of these things, yeah, you can preach not in the church, and you can fellowship not in the church. You know, when I say the church, not the building, I mean within the body. But you see that these things are, especially these two, they're given to the church. These are things that are special to us. And you know how you have those things with your family. There's some things you do at home with your family you don't do with anybody else. It's like this is our family thing. And I think to me it's kind of like that. I mean, like when I partake of the Lord's Supper, I want to do it with y'all. Y'all are the family of God that I'm a part of and with, and I want to celebrate with y'all. And the same thing is, the Lord says, somebody, we're baptizing, I want us to do this. Now, some extra people want to come in and watch. We've had that before. That's awesome. But we, you know, do we do this together? And so I think that's a big deal and important. You know, it's ordinary means, which means common. It's just the simple things, the mundane things that God is in the midst of. When I preached that sermon on ordinary means, I talked about a lot about God just being in the mundane, him just being in the ordinary things. There's too much, I feel like there's too much focus nowadays in church always being that, you know, that revved up show. You know, I remember being at a conference one time where they literally, the whole point of the conference was Sunday, every Sunday at your church should be Super Bowl Sunday. It should be the, you know, should be like a show every week. And I don't think that's healthy for a lot of reasons, but one main reason, that's not the way life is, you know. Some days life is great. Some days I feel like, as Kirby Smart would say, I feel like attacking the day. And other days, I wish somebody would attack me and I could stay at home and I wouldn't have to get up and go, but I do still have to get up and go anyway. And but I'm thankful knowing that God has ordained these ordinary things in the church to be practiced, and He cares about those things. And in the midst of the ordinary things, He pours grace into us. And that encourages me in a lot of other places in life. Man, all the things I have to do that I don't always want to do, but God cares about those things. Even, you know, getting up and going to work, He cares about how I do that, how well I do it, and how faithful I am to doing it. And the things we do together in worship, He cares about those things, even the small things. And so anyways, I love this idea of ordinary means. I love the idea of an ordinary church. This is a quote from a sermon. I wanted to give it to you again. I thought it was great. I don't know Michael Brown. I don't know exactly who that is. Not the Michael Brown of... not the charismatic Michael Brown. Isn't that his name?
James White.
Yeah, it's a different guy.
He's a Michael Brown that was connected with Ligonier.
I got this off the Ligonier website, so that's what it was.
It's Michael Brown. He had a radio show back in the day.
Yeah.
Real husky voice.
Yeah.
Before God saved him, he was a commentator, I guess.
Oh, like a sports commentator or radio broadcaster.
Radio voice.
Now, this is what he said about ordinary means, and that's why I liked it. He said, nowadays, ordinary is a bad word in a culture that is constantly looking for the next big thing. Who wants what is ordinary? We want spectacular. We want what's bigger, better, and exciting. We desire extraordinary gadgets, extraordinary kids, extraordinary lives. And to feel validated as a person, we can't settle for what's ordinary. In our approach to church, he says, is not much different. In a world that values novelty, innovation, and relevance, the expectation is for the pastors to appear hip and worship to feel amazing and teaching to be useful for our most recent news feed or felt needs. And he goes on to say, we don't want ordinary ministers of ordinary churches, but bigger than life celebrities who lead transformational movements that are in a rush to make a radical impact on our lives. We want churches that are worthy of our personal quest for the spectacular. We want churches that are worthy of us. But I think that I'm okay with ordinary church and just doing the ordinary things. And hey, if God does something amazing, we ought to rejoice in that and be excited about it. But I think it's also cool that God is in the midst of our lives, even during the ordinary, boring things, you know? So, anybody want to say anything about any of that?
Like comfort food. It's ordinary. And it's regular.
Yeah.
I was just thinking about most of the churches that are doing the extravagant things, how fast they move away from the truth at some point.
Yeah. Because something else becomes the focus.
And how fast they grow.
They do grow fast. Well, this guy continued. This guy continued and said this, and this is what I thought was really good. There's nothing particularly exciting or novel about a ministry of preaching, baptism, and the Lord's Supper. It's the same routine each week. We hear the scriptures proclaimed. We come to the table. We sing. We pray. We enjoy fellowship, and then we go home. There are no halftime shows, no rock concerts, no celebrity personalities. It's plain, ordinary, and even boring. Truth be told, he says, it's about as exciting as watching a tree grow. But Jesus said the coming of his kingdom is like the growing of a tree. He said, what is the kingdom of God like? What shall I compare it to? It's like a grain of mustard seed that a man took and sowed in his garden, and it grew and became a tree, and the birds of the air made nests in its branches. So he says, the tree doesn't grow by big and marvelous events, but through the slow, steady diet of sun and rain year after year. And the same is true of the kingdom of God, more often than not. And so I thought that was pretty cool. And I've never thought about, I remember when I first read this, I had never thought about the parable of the mustard seed in that context. That, it grows big in the bush, and the birds sit in its limbs, but it didn't do that overnight. And Jesus said, this is what the kingdom of God's like. It's not what we want it to be. And that's frustrating. And sometimes it's hard. You want things to go fast and we want growth. I mean, we're not opposed to that. We want people to come to church, you know. We want new people to come to church, but and worship. But I feel like you just have to let God grow as He sees fit, you know. And that's hard. That's one of the things my brother next door was talking to me about. He's really, you know, he's really struggling with that because there's a lot of temptation to stop doing the ordinary things because, and unlike me, which y'all are all, I don't have this problem, you know, he's got people in his ear. Hey, we should be doing this and more people will come. If you stop doing this, more people will come. Mm-hmm. And that's a difficult place to be because you don't know what to do, you know, and you're stuck saying, well, I got to preach the gospel. Yeah, but since you started preaching the gospel, people quit coming. And so, which is not a miracle. I mean, not anything new either.
Whose church is it then?
Yeah.
Right? Are we going to let it be God's church? And
right.
The way God's commanding, or are we going to do it the way the world church?
Yeah.
And sprinkle God in there?
Yeah. Well, we've trained people to think in those terms. If God is doing something, if this is God's church, this is going to be happening. And sometimes that's true. Sometimes it's not true. I mean, we've never taught people, hey, if we're growing a gospel-centered church, it's going to take a while. It's going to be slow, but it'll be steady and slow, and it'll be good growth. And it'll grow properly and healthy, and it'll be stronger. And I think, that, again, Jesus' analogy, I remember a couple years ago, I grew tomato plants. I had never grown any this tall. They were taller than me, 7 feet tall. The stalks were this big around. I was like, oh my gosh, I'm going to have tomatoes forever. I got like 2 tomatoes off 8 plants like that. So it was gorgeous and beautiful, and it grew up giant. And I don't know what I'm doing. I get that. But it just because it looked that way, there was no indication that
no good fruit.
I thought the good fruit was going to be there. But, you know, they kept turning rotten right when they go from green to rotten, or something would eat them, or they just fall off. So obviously, it didn't grow correctly, you know, probably because of the farmer. But
it was your dirt.
Could have been the dirt.
Yeah, probably farmer.
The dirt and the farmer.
Dirt and the farmer. It's probably both. But anyways, so these are the ordinances, and or at least these two are the main ones that we think about. But there are other ones. It goes on to, you want to say anything about that? We move on to baptism. I think we got time to.
I'll just say I greatly appreciate the frequency with which we do communion. I'm much younger than most of you all, but I spent a lot of time in Southern Baptist churches where once a quarter, something along those lines.
Yeah.
And even then, if y'all, let's do it. Everybody do it.
Mm-hmm.
I dated Church of Christ, a girl with Church of Christ. They take communion every Sunday, and there's a lot of things obviously that's wrong.
Right.
Church of Christ. But nonetheless, I got to thinking during that time, it was obviously before I came to First Baptist, where Jason was preaching when I met Elise and all that stuff.
Right.
Before that.
That's good. I'm glad. Guy won last week. Yeah.
I was exposed to what we're all exposed to here as far as preaching and teaching and discipleship. But I thought, man, I think they're actually doing something right here.
Yeah.
And then baptism, you know, obviously there's a lot wrong with what I knew about baptism, but there was a lot of emphasis on it.
Yeah.
I went to lots in their church, and we studied that together because I obviously disagreed with them. But it really opened my eyes again to say, man, I think we don't put the emphasis on this.
Right.
In the Baptist church like we do. But I appreciate that we do both of those things here. And I think, like you said, it is these ordinary means, these things that you do that seem to be mundane sometimes. Like you said, you know, I've thought about that. Doing it so frequent, it becomes We face that at work with various tasks you do. You want to do things right, but you do it so often it becomes mundane and you don't think about it. Then it's like there. However, I even think, you know, I'll take Easton out now. I cannot miss the Lord's Supper.
Mm-hmm.
Even if I've not heard a word, when it comes time for the Lord's Supper, I want to be in here. Mm-hmm. And I appreciate the brothers, they'll come find me sometimes. I appreciate that. And I'll try my best to get back in here. I mean, it means something. As you say, to be together and doing what God has called us to do.
Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of cool sometimes just to stop and see that. I mean, it's kind of like listening to the, listening to everybody recite the
yes.
creed. You watch everybody at the same time eat, and it's like we're all together saying, "Yeah, this is. I took Christ in, and He came in. However you want to say it, I mean, He is in me, and His blood. This is how I live, and so it's pretty cool to be a part of it."
Jason, I didn't want to ask something like, I don't want to call you out, you know, you did miss because you were sick. But that Sunday, we weren't able to have it.
Right.
I mean, when will the church elect a deacon or an elder or, and I don't know.
Right.
This is, you know, because I really missed that Sunday, just like Seth said. Me taking that each Sunday, to me, it makes me a better person. Or me, not me, but God, you know, in me.
Sure.
And it was like, ooh, I really hate that.
Yeah.
You know, but I mean,
well,
Easter will happen. You're going to go on vacation or, you know,
yeah. Well, that, was it last week I mentioned? We talked about the, I'm about to try to get men together and create a deacon ministry for that reason. Because I don't necessarily have elders right now that I see that we're going to have, but I do need to have somebody for a lot of purposes, but especially that, because I don't like not having to do it, but I feel like it needs to be somebody that the church has set aside and recognized and put forward as, okay, this is somebody that can do this in the absence of me or whoever. So hopefully we can get that done pretty quickly and have somebody, because I don't want to skip it. I don't like skipping.
Yeah. And you saying that, so you brought it up, I was out, you know?
Oh, yeah, last week. That's why I brought it up. Well, last week, no, but it's funny that you say that, because we did talk about it last week.
Okay.
And, yeah.
He did.
Been here, you know.
But I'm sorry. It was under the community of saints, you know. Sorry. Yeah.
That's so funny.
I did not make it.
Yeah, so, but no, I appreciate that. I'm glad to know that. And since I mentioned it, I realized a lot of people are thinking about it, so that's good.
You know, but that shows the Spirit's working on her, too. Because we are a body, right?
Right, right.
The Spirit's working on all of us, and we're on the same page. You're just confirming you're on the same page with all of us.
Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah.
So I've been searching for this for a long time, because a lot of things have me thinking about this. But how just going back to what you were talking about, how it's like the mundane things you're talking about. So it's like the small, steady things seems like. So it brings to mind. And it took me forever to find this, but it's in 1 Kings chapter 19, and it's with Elijah, and he's speaking with God, and God tells him to, in verse 11, says, "Go out and stand before me on the mountain," the Lord told him. And as Elijah stood there, the Lord passed by, and a mighty windstorm hit the mountain. It was such a terrible blast that the rocks were torn loose. But the Lord was not in the wind.
Oh, yeah.
After the wind, there was an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, there was a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, there was a sound of a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his cloak and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. So, you know, everybody wants to see the earthquake and the fire and the wind, but that's not where God's at.
Right.
You know, so that he was in the
gentle whisper.
You know.
Yeah.
I don't know. I guess, you know, I personally have witnessed that many times to where in the quiet moments.
Oh, yeah.
Or, you know, and the subtle, something soft, something not, you know, extraordinary, just in those small moments.
Absolutely.
And that's when you sense the presence of God.
It's little things that cause you to see God in a more faithful way,
and a
more worshiping posture, because you see something quiet and calm in your life that he's working through.
Or even, like you say, sometimes just watching out over the congregation here, and just in the moment, there's something that, you know, where God just, by his Spirit, it's like everything's right in the world for me. You know, everything makes sense. Yesterday, I didn't think I didn't want to see the next day, you know, for whatever reason, something crazy happened. And now, just for a minute. And like I say, it wasn't, nobody's jumping up now, hollering, running around the church.
Right.
It's just, or even sitting somewhere and just and watching my family or something that we're not even doing anything. It's just all, you know, God just does that in those, I think, in those mundane, quiet moments. And I think that's him. I think that's the way we're supposed to be before the Lord, anyways.
You know, and it's right after this is when he told him, when Elijah's like, oh, I'm the only one here.
Yeah.
And like,
yeah.
I've got people. I've got 7,000 men that haven't bowed the knee to Baal. You know.
Yeah, he needed to hear that. He needs to know, hey, this ain't about you, and I got it taken care of. Yeah. It's good. Absolutely.
The thing I mentioned before, but I get the privilege of being up there most every Sunday and seeing exactly what you said. And there are times that, I don't say it's not there, but there are very special times where when I look out and it's every single person reading, reciting, every single person from the youngest to the oldest singing the hymns.
Mm-hmm.
Times we're singing, you know, some songs that maybe aren't the most upbeat. They're mundane, you would say, and it just breaks me. Mm-hmm. I guess Sunday before last, I was absolutely broken with what we were singing, and it's not spectacular, right? It's, but man, the words in those songs are something else about our God and what he's done for us.
Yeah. And so when you experience that, you know, singing with the brothers, and then you go to a church to where you're being entertained the whole time.
Yeah.
It's like, man,
yeah.
I don't want this.
It's just like lukewarm. It wants to spit it out of my mouth. I don't want to be here.
I want to participate. You know?
I saw a post on Facebook this week that just, it has burdened me. Even in hearing this keeps coming to mind. It is a well-known individual in the community, several counties around we recognize him. And the picture was up there. My friend's daughter getting baptized, and what's in the foreground of the picture is juggling pins and juggling hoops. And I mean, wow.
That breaks your heart.
Yeah, it does. It absolutely
because
breaks
it's totally
heart.
Taking the focus.
But it's also, you know, that if you've ever been a part of that from a ministry standpoint, it's the most exhausting thing ever to have to try to constantly come up with more things. And I think that, again, that's what I love, that God has given us these ordinary means. You know, there's nothing spectacular about me. I'm just supposed to open the Bible and say, look, there's the Bible. It's what God has said to us. Hear the word of the Lord, you know. And what has he told us to do? Do the things together that we're doing. And, you know, nothing wrong with us getting together and playing and having fun. But when it's time to worship, I just think you can get confused. There can be so much confusion when there's so much peripheral things. Like, what is worship? Is it all this? Or is it the ordinary means of grace? And I think that's where worship is, you know, those ordinary things. Because it can become a sideshow.
Yeah.
fast. I don't know if any of y'all keep up with the wider evangelical world, but all that craziness with the men's conference that Mark Driscoll was involved in. Did you see all that?
I heard that last night. Deadline.
I didn't look into
it. It's insanity. But you know, that, the whole thing, he's a clown, and all the people involved in that were clowns, but it just goes, these are men conferences where you're trying to come up with the wildest, most extreme thing ever, and then sprinkle some Jesus in there.
Something to make it memorable.
Well, it's almost like, we think that men, these are men, so they're not going to be capable of listening to anything solid. We just got to get them up here and give them a good show. And then when you talk about Jesus a little bit, but I think it's just disrespectful. You know, it would be kind of like, well, we're going to have a women's conference, but for 2 hours, we're just going to talk to you about being in the kitchen and how to cook and how to wear makeup. And then we'll put some, it's kind of like, this is the only thing y'all can comprehend. And we do the same thing with men. Well, the only thing y'all can understand is tanks rolling through the sanctuary and, you know, bombs going off and, some of it I don't even want to say. It was so bad. Yeah, it was really bad. But it's just sad. But that's what church in America has become, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm.
They did. Well, he started. You know, he's kind of charismatic. Well, way charismatic. But he got kicked out. You know, removed from his own church because of the way he treats people. And he's really never repented of any of that, but he suddenly started another church, and now he's preaching. And
he started that whole, there's a ministry, right?
Well, he was the Acts 29 guy, but that's falling apart too, thankfully. It's about over, yeah. Now Matt Chandler is in charge of it, but it's still...
Is Matt Chandler still in charge?
Yeah, but it's about to go away completely. Yeah. But he started rebuking spirits of Jezebel and... all the stuff, and
yeah, Ruth, I listen to him sometimes. He came on live and addressed it,
but it was kind of like a sideshow and then another sideshow, because he should. I don't know what he thought he was going to. You know,
some crazy thing.
Yeah, and so it's like he didn't take any rebuking, but he was willing to give it out. But it was good. Anyways, I didn't mean to get sidetracked on that, but other than. There's always a show somewhere. But anyways, we didn't get to baptism and Lord's Supper specifically, but we can, huh?
So that's weird. We got all the time in the world tonight.
Tell you what, I guess we're gonna have to start at 5:30 instead of 6:00 eating. Start prayer requests at 6:45.
Maybe we can start at that.
No. Seth told us that he gets the youth started quicker than we got started in, huh? We're usually not that far behind.
We really
are.
Should have been in
Helen
had marriage.
I missed that night too.
We usually have a good Toby Keith song from Nicole, and then we're ready to go after that.
Yeah.
Nicole and her Toby Keith.
Well, y'all have a great week, and thank y'all for being so faithful. And Lord willing, I'll see you Sunday.